From the National Humanities Center, this is Wayne Pond with Soundings, conversations featuring scholars and visitors at the National Humanities Center. Here is the director of the National Humanities Center, Charles Blitzer.
Those of you who are regular listeners to Soundings will already have recognized that something new has been added. Soundings now has a musical theme. It is a post-horn duetto composed in the mid-19th century by the American A.F. Knight. It is here performed on two cornets of the period by George Recker and David Flowers. It appears on a Nonesuch recording entitled 19th Century American Ballroom Music, performed by the Smithsonian Social Orchestra and Quadrille Band, directed by James Weaver. We're deeply grateful to Jim Weaver for helping us in this enterprise. We very much hope that you will come to like this music as much as we do and to recognize it as the theme of Soundings. Now you will have the pleasure of listening to a conversation between Wayne Pond and Jim Weaver of the Smithsonian.
Jim Weaver, you come to the Humanities Center from the Smithsonian Institution, where you are Director of Performance Programs, Curator of Restored Instruments at the National Museum of American History. We thank you. Out of your collection, we have drawn our brand new Soundings theme song. Let's begin our conversation about the conservation and restoration of musical instruments, the music itself. Give me a general sense of what you do. You must have a fascinating job. Just talk to me in generalities for a moment.
All right. Well, it is a fascinating job because it does include opportunities for me to use material which I've worked at all my adult life, but it also serves as a kind of wonderful ongoing adult education course for me because I'm able to work with many elements of musical programming which are not first nature for me in terms of my own personal training.
Mm-hmm. Just parenthetically, your background is in music history and music performance.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
At the museum, we have taken two views of music very important to this country and decided to focus on those points of reference in terms of bringing us to where our musical culture is now. One is the incredibly rich European and English culture, which was the background for many of the settlers in this country. But simultaneously, of course, there were blacks brought here in captivity from the earliest days, and their musical culture was brought with them and passed on in oral tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, of course, these two cultures, because they existed side by side, had a lot of influence on each other. And what we have done then is to focus on European antecedents and with our program in Black American culture, those things which are peculiarly black experience, which finally led to a uniquely American music. And I would say maybe that means that at one end we deal with things like minuets and gavottes and finally the classical music of Mozart and Haydn, which was very well known in this country. And on the other side, gospel and blues and rhythm and swing and things which are well known to all of us who have simply grown up in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's turn to a specific example. Jim Weaver, we're talking about the conservation and restoration, preservation of musical performance. You come to the Humanities Center from the Smithsonian Institution. We're going to listen to some Baroque music from the mid-18th century. Tell me what's special here.
The couple of things that are special here. First, I would say for my purposes, and I hope your listeners too, is the sound of the instrument itself. This is a harpsichord made by Benoît Stélein in Paris in 1760, about 200 years later, or there about, let's say, about 1960. This instrument was bought at auction. It was found by the fellow who was the conservator of our musical instrument collection. He brought it into the collection in rather awful shape and then set about a physical and musical restoration of the instrument. Not only then has it been restored and maintained over the years, so heard in our concerts, but it has been recorded. And further, it served as a working example for a great many present-day builders who now base their very own contemporary manufacture on this single instrument.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to listen to now is La Casa Major, a piece written by Jacques Dufley.
Jim Weaver, we have just heard a piece called La Casa Major by Jacques Dufley, mid-18th century performance on the harpsichord. What's important here? Tell me about the performance. What should we have listened to, in effect?
Well, I think in this case, we're fortunate to have a really good recording of the instrument itself. The harpsichord made by Stélen in Paris in 1760 is just a wonderful example of a full-bodied instrument that also has an incredibly live but also delicate sound. And this particular piece uses it as a sort of full-bodied instrument. It sounds as if I'm talking about wine here, but in a way, maybe it is. It seems to me to have that
200-some plus years old.
That's right. I might give you a footnote about this particular performance. As it happens, I'm the harpsichordist on that recording, and it was a really wonderful experience to have this opportunity to spend a lot of time over the several days that we made this recording.
Did you wear a periwig?
I did not, indeed. I did the whole thing in jeans, and there are very few of us who are involved with this sort of thing who think in terms of costume, but really that... we're hoping very much to derive a here and now kind of experience with working with the music and the instruments.
All right. Jim Weaver, we're talking about conservation and restoration of music and musical instruments. You're from the Smithsonian Institution. Our next instance here is a Baroque example, another Baroque example, this time from Handel. What are we about to listen to?
Well, we're going to hear a movement from Handel, Trio Sonata for two violins, this being a piece with two violins, accompanied then by cello and harpsichord. The thing which is really quite interesting here is that the violins themselves are set up as they were when played in Handel's day. Most obvious thing is that the gut strings give a rather softer, but in a way more focused sound, I think, than what we're accustomed to hearing with modern steel-strung instruments. The bows are also quite different. They don't have the possibility to hold out a long tone without dynamic change. Hmm. For a variety of reasons, the way the instrument and bow is set up, it also causes the performer to use much less vibrato than one normally hears today. So the vibrato you hear is used more as a device of ornament rather than a consistent thing which mm-hmm. just gives an overglow to the whole sound. It means that the whole phrase length of musical structures tends to be dealt with in smaller forms, put together like a mosaic to reach a great long line. Huh. And that's something that's rather different than we hear in most modern experiences.
All right, let's listen.
Thank you.
you've just heard is a movement from a Handel Trio Sonata in G minor, performed by Marilyn McDonald, Nancy Wilson, violinist, Kenneth Slowick, cellist, and I was playing harpsichord with them.
All right, and again, my rather naive question, Jim Weaver, what's special? You talked about phrase lengths, you talked about the actual physical composition of the instruments themselves. How might this differ, for example, from a purely modern performance? Or is that an absurdity? I mean, you have to look back historically and figure out the musical evolution, do you not?
In some ways, I think that in terms of Baroque music, one of the things that we're led to do is to be as inventive and free as possible within the limits of the style. And so one of the curious things about playing this music in the way that we're doing it is that the notes which are printed on the page in many ways serve as guidelines rather than gospel, we might say. So it means that kind of work that we've been talking about, the research-based approach, leads up to that moment of performance, and then it's all what you have right at that very moment. Uh-huh. And I've discovered, and we've all come to feel this together, I think, that the best way to achieve this, in the main, is with the development of some kind of residency in which the performers and the instruments and the staff are working together
get
as
to know
frequently
one another
as possible.
Right. What are we going to hear, Jim Weaver?
We're going to hear a movement from the Hofmeister Quartet, one of the sort of freestanding Mozart string quartets, played by Jaap Schroeder, Marilyn McDonald, Judson Griffin, and Ken Slowick, all members of our Smithson Quartet. Thank you.
Program is Soundings. This is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. You've been listening to the first in a series of programs about music history and preservation. My guest was James Weaver, Director of Performance Programs and Curator of Restored Instruments at the National Museum of American History, the Smithsonian Institution. For a cassette copy of Soundings on Music History and Preservation, send $3 to the National Humanities Center, Research Triangle Park, North Carolina, 27709. Next week, James Weaver returns with part two of Soundings on Music History and Preservation. Until next week, this is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. Support for Soundings comes from the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Listen to Soundings. This is Kim Nielsen at the National Humanities Center, inviting you to join Wayne Pond this week for the first of two programs about music at the Smithsonian Institution. James Weaver, curator of restored musical instruments at the National Museum of American History at the Smithsonian, discusses the continental and English influences upon the formation of American music history. Music at the Smithsonian, Part 1, this week on Soundings, from the National Humanities Center, on this station.